I understand that when I ask that question, what do you think of when you say the word priest? Like I said, this is a loaded question because recent history and particularly recent news has not helped that title out very much, right? We've been, if you followed news over the last number of years or media, it has highlighted the fact that there's cover-ups, there's talks about the residential schools, there is all kinds of stigma and assumptions that come with the Catholic Church. And I'm not here to bash any church. We're all part of the body of God. We're all going to stand before God and give an account. But when it comes to our modern Western society, that title of priest comes with a lot of assumptions. Comes with a negative stigma and an aura. There's a mistrust when we come to this idea of someone being a priest. And it's really important that we understand how significant a priest really is, because this idea of being a priest is a major theme for chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Peter's not talking about all of the mistakes. He's not talking about all the things that have gone wrong today. Peter, being a good Jew, uses the word priest, and he's thinking about how the Old Testament talks about it. See, in the Old Testament, when Moses was establishing the way we worship in the temple, the priests were to be God's representatives. They were to be these holy, pure individuals who were the only ones allowed to serve in the temple, to do the things that needed to be done so that God's presence could be among the people. This was a high calling. But even as we talk about Scripture, there's no shortage of people in the Bible who make mistakes yet call themselves priests. But Peter's not thinking about that. Peter's not thinking about all the ones who got it wrong. He's thinking about all the ways that we're supposed to get it right. And as we're going to see this morning, we are called. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus, you have a calling to be a priest. It's not optional. It goes for every single person who calls themselves a disciple. And the reality is that our nation, our province, and our communities need God's people to start stepping into this role as priest, as representative of holy God to our neighbors and to our friends and to our co-workers and to our families. Because let's just all agree that our world is very broken. Things really need to change. And if we want change to happen, it's not coming by political power. It's not coming by social reform. The only way we're going to get the change we need is if God does something. And the way that God does things in our world is he does it through his people. And so we are his representative. We are his image bearers. We are the carriers of his presence. And so we are priests of Almighty God. And so this morning we're going to unpack what that means to be a priest, because it is not a light calling. It is not just something you wake up and you're like, I'm going to do this. It comes with all the heaviness and weight, but our society and our world needs God's people to start stepping into this role. So we're going to go through chapter 2. If you got your Bible, you can follow along. If you got your scripture journal, you can follow along. It's on the app. It'll be on the screen. It's everywhere. There's full access to it. So we're going to pick it up in verse 1. As I said, we're going to go through this very quickly. So if you have questions, if I skip something you want me to elaborate on, make sure you make note of it. Okay, verse 1. Peter says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Chapter 2 picks up where Peter left off in chapter 1. We were talking about how we're called to be holy as God is holy. We're called to be set apart. And he says, so because you are holy, because you are set apart, because you are to be like God and imitators of Christ, put off these evil behaviors. Don't be deceitful. Don't be malicious. Don't be hypocritical. Put this all away. And one author said, because we can only fill up on one of these two things. If you're going to tolerate deceit and hypocrisy and what Peter calls evil behavior, it's going to start to fill up your life to the point where you stop having room for God's word. The more you tolerate these things, the more you tolerate this evil behavior, the less you're going to crave the nourishment that comes through God's word, through his presence. It's one or the other. You can either have all the evil behavior that he just listed, or you can have a craving and a desire for God's good and precious nourishment. So the question is what are you filling yourself up on? You're filling yourself up on God's word, or you're filling yourself up on, quote unquote, the junk of the world? Which one are you filling yourself up on? And then we get into verse 4. Peter says this: you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Jumping down to verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And then jumping to verse 11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. When we read through the letters of Paul, he talks about how the church is a body, and each of us are different parts of the body. We play a different role in accomplishing the kingdom. Jesus is the head. We're the body. Peter takes it, and he says, actually, we are also the temple, and Jesus is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. When he talks about the cornerstone, he's talking about this big, heavy stone that set the foundation, the angle, everything for the rest of the building. Jesus is the firm foundation, and we are the stones that are building up, that's being built into this temple along the way. It's a good reminder that when we come to quote unquote church, we're not coming to the building. The building isn't the church. You are the church. We collectively are the church. And so when we come together, something special should happen because we are what are the carriers of God's presence. But he goes on, he says, not only that, you are chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are visitors and temporary residents and foreigners. Peter starts to pick up this idea that our home is not here on earth. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you officially get dual citizenship. You are a citizen of Canada, but you are also a citizen of heaven. And just like when you go away for a vacation and you're doing missions in Mexico or wherever it is that you go, it's fine for the time that you were there, but there becomes a longing for being home. And you are now a citizen of heaven. You will have this longing to be home, to be in eternity with your heavenly Father, because this is what you have been set apart for. For you are a holy, set-apart nation. And twice in this passage, he says, you are priests. Stay away from those things that rob your soul. One of the big things that Peter is talking about, there's three characteristics I want to highlight about being a priest for God Almighty. And the first one is purity. This should be one of the major things that pops in our brain when we talk about being a priest. is the fact that we don't want to have anything to do with the sinful ways of the world, but we want to be set apart, we want to be pure, we want to be righteous in the eyes of God. We are to stay away from the things that are trying to corrupt us. This is the whole backdrop of chapter 1 and chapter 2. He is just saying, stay away from the evil behavior. Stay away from these things that are trying to corrupt. Purify yourselves. Be imitators of Christ. Be holy and obedient to the things that God has called you to. The first characteristic is that we are called to be pure. Continuing on. Verse 13, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state, oh good, we're talking about authority again, or the officials he has appointed, for the king has been sent to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. The second characteristic of being a priest is humility. This is what it is to respect those that are in authority. Because if we have trouble respecting the authority on earth because they don't do things the way we think we should, how in the world are we ever going to respect the authority, our heavenly authority? Because guess what? God's not always going to do things the way you want him to. He's going to do what's best for the kingdom. He's going to do what advances his kingdom the best. And it may not always be the timeline. It may not always be exactly what we're asking for. The other thing is that nobody on earth has authority unless God allows it. So we can't honor the authority that God has established. Yeah, but they're sinful. Newsflash, we all are. That's why we can't rely, we can't trust on the political system to make change. The only one who's going to make change is the one who's pure and holy and set apart. We need to trust his authority. We need to trust his power. We need to be representatives of all God can do in our lives. But we can't be proud. We can't be ignorant. We can't talk. We have a tendency in the West to say all kinds of nasty things about our leadership. And it's proud, it is arrogant, and it is not God honoring. Do you agree with what our leaders do all the time? No. But it doesn't mean we can disrespect them. It doesn't mean we can't honor them. God calls us to, and remember who Peter is writing this to, okay? We have to deal with unfair taxes. Peter is writing to people who are being actively hunted by their Caesar. Nero is trying to eradicate Christians, and he's saying, you see this guy? This guy who is making up excuses to kill you? Respect him. What? Excuse me? Peter, run that one by me again, please. As of right now, no one's trying to kill you for being a Christian. At least I don't know. Maybe. I was talking to someone who said they were pastoring in a place and they got shot at. I mean, that's pretty extreme. But they were pastoring the wrong church. That had nothing to do with their faith. It was, anyways, that's a whole other thing. Submit to the authority. Walk humbly before your God. This is what it means to be a priest. To be pure. To be humble, and continuing on, verse 18, you who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect, do what they tell you to, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel, for God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God calls you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his footsteps. The third quality of being a priest in our world is conforming with Christ. Paul says in Romans 12, do no longer be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And when our mind is renewed, who do we start to conform to? Start to conform to Christ. And again, this is just a repetition of what Peter said in chapter 1. Imitate Christ. Be obedient children to God. Walk in the ways that Jesus would walk. Do what Jesus would do. Because Jesus, if you want to talk about suffering for doing what is good, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. And yet he was opposed constantly by the religious leaders. Yet he still died on a cross for your sins. He suffered for doing what is right. And he never spoke back. Peter goes on for the rest of chapter 2 to talk about how he was like a lamb going to the slaughter. He never made a noise. He never fought back. He never rebelled. He just followed along. He took the suffering because he knew that what he was doing would please God. And the call is for us to remember that. There's no glory in suffering for when you make a mistake. There's no suffering, there's no glory for getting what you deserve. But when you do what is right and good and err to the side of what God has called you to do, and you suffer for it, this is what is pleasing to God. And this is what Peter's going to talk about throughout this whole letter, is that there's trials coming. One commentator pointed out to the fact that when Solomon was building the great temple in Israel, that there wasn't a chisel heard, there wasn't an axe heard, there was no sounds of work at the temple site. It was all done off-site. And what he said was that this is why sometimes life feels like we're in a quarry. It's why sometimes we feel like in life we're getting chiseled on and hammered on and getting the axe every once in a while, because we are being formed and perfected so that when the time comes to enter eternity, we fit perfectly into our spot in God's holy temple. Be pure, be humble, and conform to the ways of Christ. All really great big ideas, but how do we do it? And I want to make this as simple as possible. So here is your point of application this morning. If you want to get this right, if you want to grow in these three areas, the best way to do it is to understand who Christ is so you can imitate him. Spend more time in God's word. And I don't have my phone up here. More time here than you do on your phone. As I said, when I was at camp, I had the opportunity to just disconnect. I didn't even take my computer. I left my tablet, which if you know me, that's tough. I'm a big tech guy. This is where I usually do all my Bible reading and journaling, is on my tablet, because it's convenient, it's easy, it's nice, but it's not about convenience. It's about connection. We need to get into his word more, because this is what the stats say nowadays. The average churchgoer, which statistically says that if you show up once a month, you'd be considered a regular churchgoer. Praise God that our church goes above those numbers. You are way better than that. The average churchgoer who shows up at church once a month spends 1 day a week. 8% of regular churchgoers spend 1 day a week in God's Word. 1 day. And maybe for, 15 minutes to hear what the devotion is for the day, or whatever it is. 1 day a week. And on the flip side, they say that the average phone user is spending 8 hours a day. That's a full-time job. Now imagine if you were to flip those things. You're on your phone 1 day a week and you're in this 8 hours a day. What a difference this would make. How much of a change would you have? You would see the world so much differently. Because instead of letting the algorithms of the world tell you what to think, you're going to let God tell you what to think. This word would transform you. And if this This is imperative for us as believers, because you don't look at this as just a book. You have the Holy Spirit within you to reveal the depth and the richness, and He makes it come alive. The problem is that we spend too much time on this stuff, and the algorithms are forming how we think. And our mind is being filled up with the junk of this world instead of the nourishment that's found in God and God alone. So if you want to get this right, we got to get this balance right. You want to grow in purity? You need to understand what purity is. You want to grow in humility? You need to understand what God's humility is. If you want to grow in conforming with the ways, and it's all here. He hasn't hidden it from us. It's more time here, less time here. And that is hard because these things are addictive. Why else do we spend 8 hours a day on it? We need to get the balance right. So my challenge for you this week is to spend more time here and less time here. In fact, try to get this more than this. Good luck. And this, I understand the irony of all this. Get off your phones. Get the app. What do you want? Both. I want both. I missed that. I'll get that later. We need to get the balance right. You are called to be priests in this world. And the question isn't whether or not you're going to be a priest. The question is, are you going to be a good priest or a bad priest? Because as a believer, you are God's representative. The question is, how are you representing God? How do you represent God to your unbelieving friends and your neighbors and your co-workers? What is the reflection they are getting when they see you, the way you talk, the way you live, the way you interact? What are they getting when they see the way you live? Let's pray, and then we'll go into Ask the Pastor. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the high calling. I thank you for your word that shines light on how we are to live and who we are. And God, I just pray that we start to take hold of this idea that we are priests in this world. Our world so desperately needs you to move. And God, you move through your people. So Lord, may we be willing vessels to be used as you call us, to step into the situations you call us to. God, to speak life where life needs to be spoken, to speak. And Father, I pray that this idea of being a priest isn't intimidating, because we don't do it on our own. God, thank you that your Holy Spirit comes and fills the gaps and encourages us and enables us to do what you've called us to do. Help us, Lord, just be humble, willing vessels to be used by the hands of Almighty God to do what only you can do, to bring the change that our world so desperately needs. God, help us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us to get the phone Bible balance right, to make it better, so that we can dive in and hear your voice and know who you are, and in turn, know who you've called us to be. Be with us, God, as we discuss. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.